The show you have selected will start directly after the next message.
If you are passionate about food and how it supports well-being and health, learn more. The Institute for Optimum Nutrition has been training nutritional therapists for 35 years on its highly acclaimed and accredited diploma courses. Start your new career in nutritional therapy, one that will make a difference and help others achieve their health goals. Train with the home of nutritional therapy education. Find us online and give us a call or click on the IOM banner on the UK Health Radio homepage.
Hello and welcome to the Yes to Life show. I'm Robin Daly, host of the show and founder of the UK charity Yes to Life that helps people with cancer to understand and access integrative medicine. Today, I'm talking to someone who is pushing hard in exactly the same direction as Yes to Life, but who is focusing particularly in prevention in the work of her charity, Hello Beautiful. Jane Hutchison learnt the hard way through having cancer herself what a great urgency there is to change the way that we all live. I'm talking to Jane in London over Skype. Good morning, Jane. Thanks very much for coming on the Yes to Life show.
Thanks for having me.
So the percentage of CR UK's income that goes on research into prevention, while it's a lot more than it was a year or two back, is still in single figures. So, well, clearly people with cancer do need help, but to give so little attention to prevention is a bit like sort of throwing buckets of water on a fire that's being driven by a massive leak of oil and not really trying to stop the oil.
Right.
So there are hundreds of cancer charities, including us, Yes to Life, but I imagine that there's literally a handful working with probably the most important health topic of the 21st century, prevention. So what drew you to set up Hello Beautiful to help with prevention, and broadly, what are its aims?
So I set it up after my own diagnosis with breast cancer in 2012. I didn't know anything about cancer, didn't know what the word really meant. I'd heard obviously a lot about it in the news and media. No family, friends or anyone had been diagnosed. So I think it was probably 8 months into diagnosis that I finally really understood what cancer was. It's so ridiculous that this word goes around and no one really talks about it openly. And
true.
I remember friends used to see me out and they said they didn't know what to say, so they just ran away and didn't say anything.
Right, that's also true.
So I think going through treatment, I went through chemo and radiotherapy and surgery, and I just, because I didn't know anything else at the beginning, I mean, I would definitely not do any of those things myself now. But it's just learning as you go. So as I learned, I had high estrogen, which I could have helped reduce in my body, doing more natural things. I just over time realized that, you know, I could have helped to heal my cancer and can help prevent lots of cancers and degenerative diseases. You know, our bodies all, I remember going to the doctor and he said, oh, I had a spot on my other breast, and he's like, oh, no, that's completely different. That's like a skin problem. I have to send you to a different department. And I was like, you know, the body's all linked. Why are you being sent to one department and another? And It was just such a crazy experience, my whole cancer experience, that I realized I wanted to set up a charity, not only to help prevent reoccurrences and help to feel better through treatment and things you can help your symptoms and help heal your body, but the main thing for me was prevention. Like, if we can prevent cancer to begin with, then, you know, it'll save billions of pounds around the world and everyone would be healthy. So we really talk about prevention now, especially with kids. We go into lots of schools and colleges and talk to young people, all the things you can do daily. And we talk about non-toxic practice. So basically the targeted eradication of all toxic subjects from your daily life. So we talk about mind, body and spirit, so getting rid of stress and anxiety with the mindfulness and different practices. I've not met anyone with cancer that hasn't had some traumatic experience, and which they believe might have led to their diagnosis. And then we talk about the body, so what we put on and into the body, so plant-based diets, everything organic, free from pesticides and all these nasty chemicals. And then we talk about the spirit, so being more one with the environment and the people around you, you know, doing different practices like Qigong and Tai Chi and breath work and all these different holistic things really to ground you and really get rid of all issues that we build up over our lifetime as well.
Mm.
Prevention is definitely.
Yeah. So we got plenty to talk about. So for people who don't know, Hello Beautiful Foundation is a UK-based cancer prevention charity. It's based in the Hello Love premises, which is in Bloomsbury, London. And on your website, your mission is stated as to create a world that's free from degenerative diseases such as cancer through personal sustainability and non-toxic practice. So those are both headings worthy of some investigation as they're not really in common currency. Can you give us the short explanation of both those terms? And we'll go on and look into them a bit more later, but just what exactly you putting under those banners?
So really personal sustainability is every day making small changes in your life to live more sustainability. And when we can personally live sustainable, then we can talk about global sustainability and, you know, small little changes, things I'm even doing now I wasn't doing 5 years ago. And it's not, and people say to me, oh, it's so stressful to change all these things. It's like, you know, you can change things gradually and over time, don't get stressed about it. So for instance, like getting rid of all plastics in your everyday life, whether it's plastic water bottles that contain chemicals, BPA and all these different things that are seeping into our system. Changing the water that we drink, so not drinking tap water, which is one of the most polluting things we could be drinking to our body, and all these just little changes are all personal sustainability. And obviously non-toxic practice, so just getting rid of everything that's toxic in your life. So whether that's toxic thoughts, toxic environments, obviously it's hard. I live in central London, so you can't get rid of everything toxic, with the pollution and everything, but just making these small changes. And even like I was talking to, we're doing a pop-up with Jenny Lee Grace, and we're talking about how kids today, or people today, they have, instead of having like one spray that they spray the kitchen with chemicals, they have like 50 different sprays. It's not just the one chemical that they're consuming in the body, but it's like 50 different chemicals because, you know, all the ads on TV and everything, you know, promote, oh, you need this chemical for this and this one for this, and you need to buy this. It's like a world of consumption and, you know, buying too much and using too many toxic products. So it's no surprise really that lots of, especially kids now, are getting cancers, and people younger are getting cancers, and all the harm that we're doing to ourselves through, you know, the way we're living, basically. So yeah, so just getting rid of everyday toxics to help prevent illness is our statement.
Okay, that's great. So you do a mass of things at Hello Love that I want to know more about, but first can we hear a little bit more about you? You mentioned you've had cancer yourself. So I'm just interested to know, well, can you just tell us about your cancer, what happened, and what you did personally to regain your own health and well-being? So this is over and above everything that was the hospital treatment.
So yeah, I was diagnosed with stage 2 breast cancer. I think I was really lucky in a way that I had a great surgeon, because the amount of people I've spoke to since that have had mastectomies with a similar cancer to me, or even a double, but they gave me a lumpectomy, which was good news. It spread to my lymph nodes, so I had those removed as well. Again, all these things that I wish I hadn't done. But I did start to do Qigong, so early into being diagnosed to help with my symptoms, and I think I got by really well compared to lots of people. I started to practice Qigong, I had lymphedema, and they told me I'd need to wear a sleeve for the rest of my life, basically, and not to even push a trolley around the supermarket. But I started to practice Qigong, which is, trying to release our energy in our body and moving our energy around in our lymphatic system. And over time, I've totally healed my lymphedema. It doesn't swell at all now. Wow. I used to look like the elk lady.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I've heard really great things about Qigong for people with cancer. I must admit, it's not something I've got any experience of at all myself, but I keep reading the people who really back it as a really good thing to do.
Yeah, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. I think that was one of the first things I did, I think. So as I was going through treatment, I did that. And then when I saw the, you know, how well that was working, there were so many other things that I started to do. Through chemo, I started to try and cut out all sugar. And then one day I had this, I thought it was going to collapse. Oh, I just had to run to the shop and buy like 5 croissants.
Right.
But now, like since cancer, I've changed like everything, and I cut out all refined sugar, and I eat a plant-based diet, so I gradually cut out meat. Yeah. So I used to eat a lot of chicken, but not much other meat really, but I slowly cut things down, and it was over time. I used to have like chicken once a week and then once a month, but I have so much more energy now from stripping all these things out of my daily life. I feel like my energy now is like almost like when I was 20. It has no peaks or drops. It's just like a constant level of energy, which is amazing.
Fantastic.
Even like berries now taste like sugar to me. Like my taste buds have totally changed.
Yeah. Amazing. So a bit of a mantra coming through all this is sort of slowly, slowly, gradual change rather than trying to do everything at once.
Right. Yeah, definitely. Mm. Yeah.
Okay. Good. And how long did it take you before you felt like you got to the point where you had your energy back plus more?
I'm not sure. I felt pretty okay after treatment in a way, just because I was doing loads alongside, but probably, I don't know, probably. Well, then I started to detox from the chemo.
Yes.
So obviously all the chemo in my system, I took Corella powder and I'd throw up 16 times in one day, every hour.
Oh, wow.
I wondered what it was, but then I read about Corella getting rid of all the heavy metals, especially through chemo. So I definitely think that was helping on that level.
Mm.
But I think it's taken years. I've probably still got chemo in my body. Probably still have to get rid of some more. Yeah. And I was meant to take tamoxifen, which I stopped. They worked me on that for 10 years, but after I knew all the side effects of tamoxifen and how it could lead to secondary cancers and even breast cancer, and I knew so much then about prevention that I just stopped taking it. My oncologist said I was gonna, it's like committing suicide and my cancer would return within the year, and how could I do this to my friends and family? And he hadn't heard of anything that I was saying about, you know, getting rid of my high estrogen levels more naturally with stripping out chemicals and different things that have, you know, man-made estrogens in them, that was raising my own levels. So, but yeah, I've been totally fine since.
And that's how long?
It's coming up to 7 years now.
Fantastic. Great achievement. So much for the 1 year down the pan.
All right.
Well,
he tried
to
put so much fear in me, like I should go back on. I left crying the doctor's surgery, and I was like, "Oh, don't worry, I'm going to go back on it." But of course, I never did. But he put the fear in me that I was killing myself if I was going to take this.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, that's still common today. It hasn't changed that much. That kind of dialogue.
Yeah, no.
And we just did a little survey to find out about, you know, what was happening in dialogues that have basically gone wrong one way or another, and the same old stuff still in there. Trying to terrorize people into treatment. The immense ignorance about all the other things that could be done. The two go together. All right, well, great story, thank you. Now, let's talk a little bit about the things that are on offer. On the Hello Beautiful website, you've got 4 headings of workshops, holistic classes, guidance, and non-toxic practice. Can we sort of dig around those a little bit and find out what's going on?
Yes.
Maybe start with the workshops, yeah?
Okay, yeah. So Hello Love, we're open 7 days a week, and we always have different workshops and classes going on. So We do different festivals throughout the year as well. We just had a non-toxic practice festival where we had different speakers talking about how to strip these toxins out of your daily life. We had things like death cafes and lots of different things going on. But
fantastic.
So we do workshops mainly, all sorts of different workshops. So art therapy ones or mindfulness. So we, because I have a design background, it's really easy for us. We make these things called woobs, which are wooden breast sculptures, and we do all sorts of different origami workshops and just getting people together, relaxing and creating stuff that really, you know, helps as a mindful practice. And then they open up and talk together. We do like organic juicing, we do a lot of the Gerson therapy juices. So we show people how to juice and how to use the juicer. And we do nut milk workshops, how to make your own nut milks, which is super easy. All different things, headscarf workshops. Anything and everything when it comes to well-being.
Fantastic. Well, a range of stuff. Whereabouts do you hold the festival?
So it's in the shop. So right. Yeah, people get confused as well. So imagine it's in a big field somewhere, but yes.
Yeah, that's why I thought I'd ask.
And downstairs we have a dojo, so we do qigong and reflexology and tai chi, meditation, all sorts of different things. Even like lucid dreaming and how to be conscious in your dream state to help with healing. And I've learned so much myself about all different topics that I didn't know about before. And it's constantly learning new things as well.
Brilliant. Okay.
So yeah, we offer these all free for people with cancer. And then people without cancer can come and pay for classes, and that helps support. So we're not like set up like a normal charity. So it's almost like, you know, when you buy something for yourself, you're actually giving to the charity.
I see. Yeah. Good plan. Okay. And what goes under the banner of holistic classes then? Maybe you've mentioned some of those already in the workshops, or is this a different set of...
So they're the qigong and meditation and all these different things. So we do sound massage of crystal singing bowls and gong baths and lots of different things.
Right. So these are all things that come under the kind of body mind category.
That'd be right. Yeah. And then we have things like we have counselors and we help with we're trying to get a funding to get our own infrared sauna and hyperbaric oxygen chamber, but we send people to another one in Harley Street, and they can get a massive discount there as well.
Great. So you're hoping to give kind of supportive treatment basically in the place as well?
Yeah, definitely. We're trying to get a thermography machine as well when we get more funding, so we can give, instead of people going for mammograms, which are obviously really harmful, and you know, we can have thermography scans that, like an infrared scan that actually can detect cancer cell changes or cell changes a lot earlier than mammograms. And yeah, mammograms are just like the devil as well.
Well, it depends who you talk to, is the kind of press they get, doesn't it? I mean, some people are very damning of them, but of course, on the establishment front, they're still completely supported, completely normal, completely okay. So, it's a funny old world.
There's so much money gone into them. It's too expensive to change the system, so...
I think that's a lot to do with
it. Sure, they'll be around for a long time to come.
I think they probably will, unfortunately. But anyway, I find it kind of scary that... there's that film made about thermography and about mammography, and one of the most shocking things was the demonstration in the film that actually nobody who's involved with doing them has any idea how much radiation is involved. They all just say, oh, it's hardly anything, and they're just taught to say you get more from a transatlantic flight, and so they all say that. And, you know, it's really scary. And I took my mum along, you know, to hospital because she was diagnosed. And, you know, they wanted to do a mammogram on her. And we said, no, thanks. And they said, they were saying the whole thing, they just couldn't understand it. Well, it's hardly any radiation or anything. But if you ask them, they don't really actually know. And it is the equivalent, I've looked it up myself on the internet, it's the equivalent of a chest x-ray every week for nearly a year.
One
mammogram.
Yeah, that is unbelievable.
It's you know, if you told people that, they'd think twice before they had one. that's for sure.
Right, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Whenever I'm meant to go for them, like every year, and I say, I don't, you know, I want to ultrasound. Every year they send me in, I'm in the waiting room, and they send me in, and I'm like, and they send me in the room for the mammogram. Yeah. And I'm like, you know, I don't want a mammogram, I want ultrasound. So they send me back in the waiting room and make me wait for like 4 hours.
Yeah, right. You're going to pay.
Then they can't understand. Yeah, you're going to pay for this. The difficult patients.
Yes, that's what they're called, difficult patients. That's right. People who are interested in their own health. Yeah. Oh, blimey. All right. So under guidance, then you said you have some counsellors. Is there more under the guidance heading that you offer?
Yeah, so we have a wingman program. So that is about having someone. So I remember going through treatment when I was in the chemo room and saw so many people on their own, or they didn't have people with them. So we offer, you know, to have someone with you, whether it's to go to chemo or maybe just go to the cinema with, or, you know, maybe feeling down. We have lots of young people, so that have been diagnosed with cancer. So it could be anything they choose that they want someone to be there for them. Might be having a fun day out, but just to have someone that's gone through cancer themselves or being close to someone that's had cancer. And then we offer free services where they can have someone to go with them and have that one-to-one support.
What a brilliant thing.
Yeah, we have different networking events and meetup groups, and our space is designed so it doesn't really look like a charity. It has lots of colour and plants, and you know, it's really vibrant. And because when I was going through treatment, it was really depressing going in all these white clinical rooms. And so we have lots of meetup groups of younger people so they feel like they're not in this cancer environment or not having to think too much about it. And they can meet like-minded people as well that are looking for healing in many different ways.
Mm-hmm. Great stuff. All right. The other heading you've got there is non-toxic practice. So that looks a bit like a resources section to me. Can you tell us what's in there?
Yeah, so we've got a leaflet all about like stripping out different things. So different sun creams you can use, anywhere from like not using aluminium and plastics and not eating processed foods and not drinking tap water. So it's just like, it's a resource of stripping out toxins in your daily life. We're in the process of designing a book as well that has all this advice in it, but it's such a huge subject. I mean, there's so much you can change.
Mm. Yeah.
So we do have, we have like one-to-one consultations as well with people when they come in, and we can give them guidance on how to get rid of these daily toxics in the environment.
Mm. Fantastic. Well, really brilliant stuff, and, you know, completely up our alley, of course. We're totally supportive of everything you're doing. Really needed. Just to be clear, Jane, the services you offer, they're both for men and women, all these classes and workshops and...
Yeah, I mean, we started out as a breast cancer charity just because that's what I had, but now we don't turn anyone away with any cancer. We even don't turn away people with other illnesses because people walk through the door all the time. Yeah, so basically anyone with some serious illness can come in and have something for free. Obviously, if you have cancer, you can get lots more, but yeah, we never turn anyone away.
That's brilliant. So, I ask because I often ask about the men because they're generally rather underserved in this kind of sector. And, I mean, given that men tend to not go out looking for support as much as women, are you finding you're able to help many men?
It's always more women than men, but surprisingly, because people can just wander in. Like even yesterday, a young guy wandered in, and you know, when you start to talk about things, he said he'd just gone vegan, and then he revealed he did have cancer. He was 28, so now he's coming for free sessions. I think it's just being open and talking to more people, and then men start to become more comfortable with the subject. So we do, lots of our classes are getting more men in them, which is good to see.
I'm glad to hear it, yeah. Yeah, because it's like there's so much on offer, basically. If you don't go looking for it, often you just won't find it, and that's that.
Yeah, definitely.
And the men need the support just as much as the women, of course. But yeah, your kind of street presence is probably a unique feature in a way.
Yeah, definitely, because you never know who's, like, the amount of people that come in and say, oh, I was meant to walk down the back street, but something made me walk down here and I was almost meant to find you.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, it's great that people can just come in and talk openly.
Yeah.
It's great, smaller charities like Yes to Life, and there's so many of us smaller charities doing good things, and especially like working together and doing different collaborations is definitely the way forward. And
absolutely.
These big charities that you see with all these millions of pounds, you're like, what are they actually doing with their money?
Well, it's a good question, that's for sure. Okay, so I want to come back to personal sustainability now. So this is a way of talking about health that I've often heard at the Alliance for Natural Health, although it is pretty unusual generally. Rob Verkirk there at the ANH, the director, he's got a background in environmental sustainability, and he's kind of translated all his thinking into health. And there are significant parallels between the crisis in the environment and the crisis in our health. In fact, it would be reasonable to say that they're actually the same crisis.
Right.
Yeah, so do you want to say a bit more about the concept of personal sustainability and why you've chosen to focus your attention in that area?
I think, well, for us, we really believe this is the main... If you're not sustainable yourself, then everything can go wrong. You know, especially, I think one of the most important things is our mind and our thoughts and what we're actually thinking. You know, if we're thinking negative, horrible thoughts, then that's going to affect our cells and our bodies. So it's just being conscious at all times of our day as much as we can, just to, you know, be personally sustainable. Even like if you're doing washing your dishes, you know, don't let your mind wander off to something else or the next stress that's happening. Just being in that moment and being personally sustainable is just everyday practice. It's almost like being a Buddhist monk, but not quite. It's so much to learn. I mean, even about mentioned before, like lucid dreaming and being mindful in our dreams and being careful what we say to our neighbor and what we're putting on and into our bodies, getting rid of toxics and the water. Like, water for me has been a massive thing the last few years. I just realized how toxic water is, and we're consuming that every day. All the chemicals and fluoride, and even when you see a London kettle that's full of limescale after like two uses, you're thinking, wow, you know, if it's doing this to the kettle, what's it doing to your body? So it's just having this, you know, just stripping out every single toxicity in our life just to be sustainable. Then once we're personally sustainable, we can have more help, you know, care around the world. You know, if we're eating plant-based diet for ourselves first, and then you're like, oh, well, this is actually helping the environment as well and helping the world and the animals, and you know, it leads to global sustainability. And if we're not sustainable ourselves, then we can't, you know, save the planet, really. Right. So I think it's a massive subject, and
yeah,
you know, definitely people need to be start practicing it.
Well, it's interesting, it's just you talk about it, practicing it, it's like this is a way of living, a way of being, whereby you're actually living the way that you hope the whole world would live, in a way. And so, yeah, it's good for you. It's good for everybody else, too.
Yeah. But you the more you do it, the more benefit you see and the better you feel and the more, you know, gratitude you have, and your life just becomes better. People always say, again, like, oh, it's so stressful to change these things. It's like someone came in the other day and said the Great Ormond Street Hospital is just around the corner, and they said, oh, have you got a pill that I can take for I haven't got time to meditate, so does it come in a pill form?
Yeah, meditation.
This is like so shocking. It's like, you know, we need to put the work in ourselves to heal ourselves and to heal others, and it is a daily practice, but you do feel a lot better the more that you practice it.
Well, I mean, in this way, you're obviously enormously motivated, both for yourself and for the sake of other people. How much of that actually arrived after your cancer diagnosis, or were you always like that?
I think probably I was always like this, but not as, didn't have really much motivation or much purpose, I think. Actually having cancer gave me the purpose and the realization. Like, I thought nothing was ever going to happen to me. You know, I wasn't really going to get ill till I was like 90, or, you know, you never think something's going to happen to you. Always like your family or your parents or someone older. But I think when you realize life is so vulnerable.
Yeah.
And you see like the amount of people I've seen come in, you know, pass away and not here anymore. You just realize that there's so much we could be doing to help ourselves. And when I see people like this down the street from us, there's a Greggs and there's a KFC and all these really unhealthy places to eat. And you just see people walking past and it's like, you know, that it just gives me a mission to help people, really, to see that there's so much we can do to help heal and change the way of life and help change the world, really.
Mm. Well, as soon as you're looking at things in that way, then, of course, there's not a shortage of things to do, is there?
I know, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, it's brilliant. You know, we need people like you, obviously, otherwise we just follow the way of commerce, which is down the drain, unfortunately. Yeah, they're not very interested in our health in business, that's for sure.
No.
Except for a few rare businesses. Anyway, I just wanted to go over now a bit into the other area that you major on, this what you call non-toxic practice. So for decades now, there's been a huge drive to play down the role of environmental factors in cancer. But nonetheless, the weight of evidence pointing towards the way we live, it's spiraled. And what they now call lifestyle factors, there's always a preference to lay the blame at the door of the unfortunate person who's been diagnosed. They're kind of characterized as sofa sloths, you know, junk guzzling, obese smokers. And the last place that the finger of blame is ever pointed at is at industry for their role in things. So how much do you think that business and the governments, of course, that are supposed to be keeping them in check, are responsible for creating the environment that's making us sick?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Wow. <mean, it's> okay, that's quite a bit.
It's like, yeah, quite a bit. I mean, the government's just can't even go down that track. But yeah, it's such a money-making world, you know, everything we're consuming, even these like nut milks that are meant to be healthy, you look on the back and half of them have emulsifiers in and all these different chemicals. And we get approached every day by, because we've got a vegan cafe, about from different food companies and wanting to sell their stuff in the shop. And I look at the back and they're just full of chemicals and all different things, high sugar content, and nothing's organic. And it's like people are trying to be healthy, but they're just really trying to, lots of the time, make money. And I mean, 80% of breast cancer tumors they've done studies that, you know, have all different chemicals, or body washes and sun cream that we're putting into our skin, obviously going into our body and causing havoc. And there's so many chemicals now in the world. It's obviously a massive, it's like, even like Starbucks down the road, some guy came in complaining that our coffee was really expensive. We didn't give him a discount for bringing in his plastic Starbucks coffee cup. So then we have to have the whole thing about not only we're a charity, but everything's organic, our nut milks are not, we try and make them all ourselves, but when we don't, we know we have an expensive brand that hasn't got sugar in and hasn't got emulsifiers and all these different things. And I think lots of companies are just in it for the money, and they try to say they're sustainable, but it's almost like a buzzword at the moment, and they have to look to pretend to be healthy. And it's quite depressing, but there is lots of change happening.
Yes, also. Greenwashing is a big deal, isn't it? Basically, yeah, you're right. It's the kind of thing to be seen to be touting. And, there's tons of vegan junk food out there, which sort of poses as healthy food, which is obviously not. And it is a problem. But as you say, things are getting better in many other ways. I think that the main thing that strikes me is that if you want to clean up your life in any way, you actually have to become very savvy, because it's the amount of effort that industry is going to in order to conceal the junk that it's giving us is getting greater and greater as people become more aware. And so you really have to know your stuff if you want to actually get good food or any other kind of good product.
Right, yeah. It is really tricky because even things I was taking that I thought were healthy, then you look at, like, there's a small print and then extra, extra small print. And
right.
Then you have to look up a website and it's like, wow, you know, you have to really do your research.
You do, unfortunately.
Yes.
I mean, the only thing that's sort of helping us out is, of course, there are some people who are being kind of champions of this area who are doing the homework for us. And if they say something's good, then you can fairly reliably think it is. But, you know, that helps enormously. But otherwise, you spend your whole life doing research, you know, in order to buy anything at all.
That's true. But for me, it's like a passion now, like just feeling so healthy, and it just like spirals, and you just want more. You just want to cut out all the toxins then, and you just realize how toxic the world is and changing everything. And you know, most people with breast cancer are deficient in vitamin D, and we're all told to use all this toxic sun cream, and all these skin cancers are coming probably because of the sun cream we've been wearing for all this time, and it's just so scary.
I know.
But I think it's like smoking, you know, they said smoking didn't cause cancer for so many years. So I think in 5-10 years, it'll be quite common knowledge that, you know, we're giving ourselves cancer through all these different...
It will.
Well, we're not giving, the industry's creating all these toxins that are polluting our bodies.
Well, the aim of industry is always to get in a good innings with anything like that and put out lots of confusing science and all the rest of it. And get the best innings they can with the profits coming in before it gets exposed that they actually knew all along that it was no good for anybody. And generally speaking, most of them seem to manage about 50 years, unfortunately. So even while you can have these breakthroughs of it being exposed that something or other, you know, asbestos kills you off, they've had 50 years out of it already since they knew it killed people. And and of course, meanwhile, the other ones are still going strong, and there are more being developed all the time. So I think we need to change our pace of being able to stop things. You have to actually prove beyond reasonable doubt that something is bad for people before it'll be stopped. You know, and that process is such a long one that we can't afford it anymore.
But I think there's definitely more awareness within people, especially the younger people that come to see us that have been diagnosed. You know, when I was diagnosed, no one really talked about anything other than chemo or radiotherapy. But now people are, you know, understanding more about the environment and how we can look after ourselves. And,
good.
You know, mindfulness was even on the radar back then. So people are becoming more aware. And I think, you know, the body and build-up of different smaller groups like yours and ours, and all this education is really helping people. And you can see the change. Even in the last couple of years, it's been amazing changes for the good.
It's very heartening. I think one of the most noticeable things at Yes Life is the fact that, you know, when the helpline started, which was me, however many years ago it was, you know, the only people really who tended to call up had actually literally had every piece of conventional treatment they could, and they'd been kicked out because they couldn't give them any more without killing them on the spot. And they arrived at the doors of Yesterlife looking for help. And of course, you know, we would always help in any way we could, but that's kind of not the best scenario. And but nowadays, it's quite common for people to have literally just been diagnosed or very recently. Which is that's more like it, you know. They're actually thinking for themselves right at the beginning. So excellent.
Yeah, that's really good.
All right. So just one more thing I want to ask you. I mean, there you are. You're in the middle of London, and as you said, living in the middle of London, you can't avoid everything. But what would be your sort of top things that you? Somebody comes in the door and they says, "Okay, I want to try and clean up my life a bit. You know, I've been diagnosed." What would be your top things that you'd be recommending them to do?
I'd say first and foremost was stress and anxiety. I've realised over the years what a massive role that plays. I remember one lady coming in saying, "Oh, I don't understand why I've got cancer. I've done yoga for 20 years. I eat so healthy. Everything's organic." She was, you know, she looked amazing. And then she talked about her husband and how she'd had a miserable marriage and, you know, met so many people with all these traumas and stresses and you never really know what people are thinking inside and their thought processes. So I think, you know, really focusing on any issues you have in life or really talking through emotional stress issues is key. Mm-hmm. You know, you might need to change a job or change your marriage or, you know, there's so, you know, life's too short to stay in miserable situations. So I think stress and anxiety is key for mm-hmm. start.
Right.
And then things like water, so getting rid of not drinking tap water, getting something like a reverse osmosis water filter or Berkey or something to not have all those pollutants in our bodies. You know, getting what we're putting onto our skin. Our skin's like our biggest organ of the body, so it soaks up everything. So really looking at our cosmetics and everything down to toothpaste, body wash, hair, cream, shampoos, and you know, getting ones without chemicals and parabens and all these different nasty things in them. Mm. And I think personally as well, like a plant-based diet. So from my own experience, I just feel so much better from eating this way. And you see all these athletes now, you know, Serena Williams and all these people changing to plant-based diets and having massive, I think it's definitely the way forward.
Mm.
Cutting out processed sugar, so that was a massive one for me. And the other day, actually, I didn't slip up, I knew I was doing it, my brother was over and we had arranged an afternoon tea, and I haven't had processed sugar for like 3 years. I thought I'll treat myself to like two small cakes, and I felt absolute, like 2 hours after, I had this massive dip and I just almost needed to go to bed, and I haven't had that in years. So
wow.
It was great for me to show me like what sugar actually does to your body.
Yeah.
Especially after cutting it out.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, definitely try and cut down on sugars.
Okay, well that's great. It's all very practical stuff that people could look to be doing with a bit of help and support in terms of making the right decision. So that's fantastic. And very interesting to see you put stress and all that right at the top of the list. I would inclined to agree with you on that. It's kind of the undervalued aspect of the contributory factors, the one that sort of
right.
is often not on the list at all. It's certainly yeah. usually not up near the top. But yeah, as you point out, I've also come across lots of people who, you know, have had some major upset in their lives just in those few years leading up to them getting diagnosed.
Yeah.
And so it is documented what effect this has on our immune systems, particularly if it makes us very depressed and we can't get over it for a long time. So not surprising in a way that it opens us to things going wrong.
Mm. Yeah, because all our bodies have cancer in it, but normally just, you know, we get rid of it because our body heals and flushes it away. But if we're stressed and our cells aren't stressed, then it's harder for, you know, our cells to heal. And then these are when malfunctions can happen. And
yeah. Okay, so look, I think we're about out of time, so thank you very much for talking to us today, Jane.
Thank you.
I think
great.
Hello Beautiful is a brilliant charity. I think what it offers is so valuable, and we at Yes to Life are always absolutely delighted to work with you whenever we can. So a big thank you for everything you do to help people with cancer. It's great.
Great, thank you. Thanks for Yes to Life, because yeah, you're truly amazing. Inspiration.
Thank you, Jane. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
So do take a look at Hello Beautiful's website, a really great charity doing wonderful work. Some of you may be aware that last week I was doing a fundraiser for Yes to Life, a 7-day fast, an interesting challenge to be sure. The donations page is still open, so if you wanted to support me, that would be enormously welcome. It's a tough time for charities right now. If you go to Just Giving's website, it's justgiving.com, and put The Big Week Off into the search box, you should find me. So you search for The Big Week Off. Thanks very much for listening today. Do join me again next week for another Yes to Life show. Goodbye.